You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us, folks, and thank you because this is a very special occasion for me. Today marks show number 600 of the independent Russ Belleville Show. That's right, June 4th. 2012, we began the Russ Belleville Show, and today is the 600th episode. It would have been yesterday, but unfortunately, we had some system failures. If you tuned in yesterday and you found us not playing, I apologize. We added our video cameras back. You can see us now if you go to our Ustream page or on the 420 Radio front page, but that's it. We're not recording the video. You're not going to get any video replays. This is it. If you're watching live, you get to see me talking to a microphone. I don't know why that's interesting, but some people wanted it. So there you go. But anyway, putting all that stuff back together, somehow I messed it all up and crashed the system. And it took me all day yesterday to get it reset. But we're reset now. And we are live on 420radio.org. Catch us on the 420 Radio app if you want to download and take us with you everywhere you might want to go. Anywhere and everywhere, that is. On today's show, we're going to take a look back at the first week of the Russ Belleville Show and reintroduce you to some of our friends, including Cannabis Carrie, who we miss dearly. She's up in Astoria, Oregon, continuing her radio career with KMUN. She's doing a lot of great stuff up there, and we'll have her on the show again someday, I swear it. But for now, we're just going to take a look back to the first week of the Russ Belleville Show, a week back in June of 2012. Ah, remember the days there were no legalized marijuana states. It was just a dream. And you'll get to hear some of that as we recount some of the news in Colorado and in Arizona that was happening back in 2012. Also, we are going to speak with Danny Danko back in the time machine from the first week in 2012. This was the Friday show, and he called us from Central Park, New York, where he was taking part in one of the High Times Bong Hitters softball games. So interesting blasts from the past coming up on the Russ Belleville Show. Also on the show today, the Washington Post in Behind the Headlines has finally gotten behind the Shona Banda case out of Garden City, Kansas. We've been telling you all about it. We've got a couple of updates on the case as well, and we've got the folks with Bleeding Kansas following the show and helping to get the word out as well. So we'll tell you all about that right after the 420 Radio News. Also today in drug war data mining, we're going to take a look back again at Governor Chris Christie, who's doubled down on being the anti-pot presidential candidate. Well, Fox News reported on this the other night, and they brought on a pundit who thought that was a good idea to be anti-pot in a country with four legal states and 23 medical states and 15 CBD states and 11 decrim states and polls showing greater than 55% support for marijuana legalization. Christie thinks he's on the right side of history. So we'll listen to that from Fox News and maybe laugh about it a bit. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant, taking a look at what's going on here in Oregon. We'll fill you in on the latest compromise that's been brokered in the legislature. They figured out how to agree on not following the will of the people. All that coming up on the Russ Belleville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Come join the fun at the CannaCon Expo, the nation's largest cannabis marketplace for products, services, and ideas. CannaCon is where the cannabis industry does business. CannaCon is coming to the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver, kicking off Thursday, June 11th through Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org. That's CannaCon, CannaCon.org. If you're looking for the best deals on growing gear and the most innovative products in the market, don't miss CannaCon. CannaCon will provide you with the opportunity to meet and do business directly and most affordably with the grow gurus and suppliers. CannaCon seminars are designed to be informal, open, and an educational conference where growers, processors, retailers, suppliers, and consultants can frankly discuss issues that impact this thriving industry. Don't miss CannaCon, coming to the Colorado Convention Center June 11th through Saturday the 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Four20 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. The Environmental Protection Agency is offering a process through which pesticides could be approved for cannabis in states where medical or recreational marijuana is legal. By applying to register certain cannabis-related products as a special local need, as defined under Section 24C of the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or FIFRA, the marijuana industry could have a comparatively swift and cheap way to obtain appropriate pest control options without running afoul of federal law. Quote, I think it's a very positive sign, says Mitch Yergert, director of the Colorado Department of Agriculture's Division of Plant Industry, who received the letter from the EPA detailing the process on May 19th. Continuing, quote, it allows us to move forward in a very normal manner on pesticides for marijuana, just like any other crop. I think it is a huge step forward for the EPA, the industry, and us. End quote. Support for the legalization of recreational marijuana use by adults has reached an all-time high in California, a state whose pot-friendly reputation precedes it, but that has failed to get residents to approve full legalization in the past. A record 54% of potential California voters said they favored legalizing weed this year, a 3% increase in support from 2014, according to a June poll from the Public Policy Institute of California. Overall, support for legalization has increased among likely California voters by 6% since 2010, the policy group found. Researchers noted that for the first time, a majority, 52%, of Californians ages 55 and older said they thought marijuana should be legalized, up from 42% in 2010. Support was highest among residents between the ages of 18 and 34, with 61% favoring legalization. Backers of an effort to legalize marijuana in Ohio for medicinal and recreational use say they have more than enough signatures to qualify for the 2015 ballot. Responsible Ohio said Tuesday they have collected more than the 550,000 valid signatures they need and met an additional requirement by hitting signature minimums in 70 of 88 counties. State officials must still review the petitions. Executive Director Ian James said a robust voter registration effort was conducted in tandem with the signature gathering. The group estimates that about 10% of petition signers also initiated or updated their voter registrations. Responsible Ohio is working to pass the Marijuana Legalization Amendment, Amendment, which calls for adults 21 and over to be able to buy marijuana and to grow up to 4 plants at home. A House spending bill introduced Wednesday would block the District of Columbia from using any money to legalize or otherwise reduce penalties for possession of marijuana, a move that would keep the drug quasi-legal in the city. Voters approved a ballot initiative in 2014 that legalized possession of up to an ounce of marijuana in the district. However, without legislative action by local lawmakers, it will remain illegal to buy or sell the drug. The congressional rider will continue to block city leaders from pursuing legislation to regulate the sale and taxation of marijuana. A similar provision was included in a congressional spending plan adopted in December. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, the district's non-voting representative in Congress, noted that she was gearing up to fight the inclusion of the marijuana rider, as well as others that continue to block the city from using local funds to pay for abortions for low-income women. A proposal that would create a $100 fine for marijuana possession in Florida's Miami-Dade County gets its first hearing before county commissioners tonight, a key test for a law designed to keep minor pot offenses out of the criminal system. Criminal penalties would remain an option for misdemeanor possession of marijuana, but the change in county rules would give all police in Miami-Dade the option of treating it as a civil offense instead. If issued a civil citation, the offender would receive a ticket and not a criminal charge that could bring up to 1 year in jail. The 170-acre Canna Camp, opening July 1st in Durango in southwest Colorado, calls itself the nation's first cannabis-friendly ranch resort. Guests won't be given marijuana because that violates state law. Instead, the resort allows guests to bring their own pot and use it while at the resort. Guests stay in cabins that allow smoking on porches but not inside. Rates start at $395 per person per night. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The Fingerboard extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where the state of Kansas may have bitten off more than it can chew in the case of Shona Banda. We've told you about the case on earlier shows. In March, Child Protective Services took Shona Banda's 11-year-old from her home in Garden City, Kansas, because he mentioned his mom uses medical cannabis and mentioned that in the DARE class. So they took her kid away. Child Protective Services turned him over to her father, the child's father, who she is divorced from. They raided her home, found marijuana and paraphernalia and cannabis oil, and have now charged her with 5 felony counts of possession of marijuana with intent to distribute, manufacturing THC, 2 counts of paraphernalia, and 1 count of child endangerment. The Washington Post is now writing this up in a story they entitled Mom who uses medical marijuana faces up to 30 years in prison. And she will be turning herself in. This is the latest news we've got on Shona Banda. She will turn herself into authorities on June 15th. And again, could face 30 years in prison. And in case you didn't know, Shona Banda, since the raid, has not been using her cannabis. So her condition has been deteriorating. A rot that had taken on the roof of her mouth has kicked back in. She's lost an enormous amount of weight. And of course, if she ends up going to prison, the prison stay could kill her. There's another mom who's fighting. The lawyer who is representing Shona Banda, her name's Sarah Swain. She's also representing a woman by the name of Amber Thurmond. She's in Arizona, but she appeared in family court in Hayes, Kansas. And to be reunited with her 9-year-old daughter, she has to move back to Kansas. The reason she left Kansas is she is a patient who uses medical marijuana to control seizures and works at a medical marijuana dispensary in Arizona. She's facing charges of physical, mental, and emotional neglect of her child because she sent her daughter to live with her brother, a police officer, for a semester while she gets on her feet financially. 18 months later, her daughter's been put in the state foster care system and placed with her brother. Sarah Swain, the attorney, says these mothers are being forced to choose between their health and their families. And this is just so wrong. I wanted you to hear from Shona Banda herself. This is a clip of Shona talking about her battle with Crohn's disease.
My name is Shona Banda. And I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease about 9 years ago, and had every condition that you can think of. I've endured. I went through the beginning stages of the disease, where I was having strictures or blockages in my bowels. With surgeries and drugs to fix that, all the way to the terminal stages of the disease, where I was losing weight quite drastically, and my body was starving because any food that I ate was gone within minutes, and my body just wasn't able to absorb any of the nutrition that I was trying to give it. I was so sick for just so long that as soon as I tried the oil and started feeling way better, that there was no turning back. That was it. No medication that any doctor had ever given me had worked that well for any reason. I had watched Rick Simpson's movie, and I was in Kansas, and you need a whole pound of it to make the 2 ounces to cure you, and I cried. And I was like, there's no way. And I accidentally found out how to do it with a little $50 Glassstone vaporizer and a $5 spatula. Scrape that stuff out and scoop it into a pill and eat it 3 times a day. And it's just amazing. It really is. I really was on my deathbed, laying there in my bed, just waiting. Because, you know, I was in and out of the hospital so much, and out of the emergency room, that the last couple of times I had went in, there's nothing that we could do for you. And I'd gotten to the point where I didn't want to be a burden, didn't want to do anything, so I was just literally waiting to die. So that's when I accidentally found the oil. And really, within 3 days, I was able to no longer need the use of my cane. I could stand upright, and that was it. My life changed forever.
That's Shona Banda from Garden City, Kansas, the 37-year-old divorced mother of two who is facing 30 years in prison because she discovered that a herb processed into an oil can relieve her Crohn's disease symptoms in a way that 17 surgeries could not. The woman's had 17 surgeries. The last time she got out, they prescribed her fentanyl to ease her passing. They gave her fentanyl, one of the most powerful narcotic drugs out there, to ease her passing, to let her die, to leave her 11-year-old son without a mother. She's got another son who's 18 years old as well. It's just cruel and unusual punishment the way we are treating Shauna Banda. I don't care if it's Kansas. And she tried to move twice to Colorado, couldn't keep it up because of financial reasons. Not everyone can just up and move to save their lives.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
It's just tragic when you hear these kind of cases. Kansas seems like it wants to be super prohibitive on marijuana. I don't know if they know how many activists they're creating in the state of Kansas from this one prosecution alone.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Big Daddy thinks.
What's happening? Big Daddy here. And I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad. The Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
What can I do when you got me going?
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. On the Drug War Data Mines, for our last show, we took an aim at Governor Chris Christie, who came out on Sunday's Face the Nation program, doubling down on his promise to be the anti-pot president. Governor Christie has vowed that if he is elected president, he will use federal resources to shut down the legalization regimes in Colorado and Washington, and by then, presumably, Oregon and Alaska as well. He wants to bring in the DEA, bring in the feds, and shut it all down. Of course, we know that at the federal level, all he can do is go after the commercial angle, the shops, and the large-scale grows. The federal government cannot force a state to institute marijuana prohibition. Can't force the states to recriminalize marijuana. Now, if he thinks he's got enough DEA, or maybe he brings up the National Guard, who knows? But if he's got enough troops to arrest every single individual who might be growing or possessing marijuana, because that's what he'd have to do to shut it down at the federal level. Now, those of us in marijuana reform see this as kind of a strange position for Governor Christie to be taking amongst the Republican hopefuls, most of whom seem to be very states' rights on this issue. Carly Fiorina, the former HP CEO, already said she would support some level of decriminalization and keeping the federal government out of the states that have legalized marijuana, and many other of the candidates have as well. But the Fox News Channel happened upon this particular story and brought up the issue of Governor Christie being so anti-pot. And one commentator on Fox News actually thought this was a good idea because it would show leadership. Let's take a listen.
Control policy. They both join us from our nation's capital. Dr. Murray, let's start with you. You say this is a politically savvy move. Why?
Leadership is always the right answer. And I think that Governor Christie has taken a stand. He said, I plant my flag. It goes no farther. It is going to be not on my watch. Not if I'm president. I'm going to uphold the law. And it is still federal law. I think it's the morally right call. I think it's the medically right call. And it's politically savvy because people are hungry for leadership. And I think support will rally to him when he says we're upholding the law and we're going to protect our children from legal drugs in America.
Sure. Dan, currently marijuana is against federal law. However, this president has decided not to enforce it, particularly in the states of Colorado and in Washington as well. You think, while Dr. Murray thinks it is a savvy move, you think it limits his political chances?
Well, first of all, it's a hypocritical move. I mean, we just heard stories a couple of weeks ago that Chris Christie had spent tens of thousands of dollars on liquor at football games in his luxury suite so he could get drunk on booze with his buddies. And now he wants to arrest and prosecute adults who would prefer to use something that's less harmful.
Well, liquor is legal and marijuana is illegal in New Jersey, that state.
Sure. Well, you know, to talk about the actual policy on this, I always thought conservatives supported limited government, you know, not having government, big government interfere with people's personal lives and personal decisions. The conservatives supported federalism and states' rights. And what Christie is suggesting is that we need a big government nanny state to tell people what are and are not good decisions, and that the federal government should force a one-size-fits-all solution on the states, no matter what the states decide.
Well,
not conservative.
What do the people of the United States feel? A brand new Fox News poll says, when asked whether or not you would like to see the legalization of marijuana, over half the country favors it, 44% opposes it. Dr. Murray, you look at what is happening out in Colorado and Washington, and you regard that as an experiment that has failed. Why?
The damage is starting to come in. The reports are there. The legalization movement is based on misrepresentation and hucksterism. And as the damage becomes evident, people are realizing that support is soft. Don't mistake fashionability for conviction. Just this last week in the Journal of Clinical Pediatrics, a report on children under 6 years of age who are showing up in emergency rooms because some fool came home from a marijuana outlet and left a brownie on the counter with high potency THC. 75% of those kids were under 3 years of age and they're getting sick from intoxicating THC. That is unacceptable and that will not stand, and support against this movement is going to grow rapidly when someone shows leadership as Governor Christie has done.
All right, Dan, I'm going to give you the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, you know, we read stories about kids getting their hands on marijuana brownies in every state, and that's because marijuana is sold openly in every state. The only difference is in Colorado, it's sold by tax-paying, law-abiding, regulated businesses. And that's what this is about. People are tired of seeing their tax dollars thrown into a bottomless pit, trying to arrest and prosecute our way out of what is a public health issue. They would prefer that we instead take a public health approach, tax marijuana, regulate it, take it out of the hands of criminals and drug dealers, and put it in the hands of law-abiding licensed businesses.
So Dan Riffle from Marijuana Policy Project going off against that Dr. Murray. I'd like to point out to Governor Chris Christie, in the recent third way poll from late 2014, they found that among Republicans, a majority of them supported what is called safe harbor legalization. That is, allow the states that have passed marijuana medically and for recreational purposes, a safe harbor from federal prosecutions. That's Republicans, 54%. That support safe haven from federal law for states that have legalized marijuana. And nearly a quarter of them support it even if they don't support legalization.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Today for the Cannabis Community Chat, we're going to take a look back over 600 episodes of the Russ Belville Show. I can't believe we made 600. I know, it's quite a feat. 600 shows in just over 3 years, because the show began June 4th, 2010. So I'm just about 6 days over that. But 600 shows in 3 years. 2 hours per show, that's 1,200 hours in 3 years. Divided by 3 years, that's 400 hours of programming every year. And brought to you live for free, thanks to the sponsors and the VIP members of 420 Radio. I can't believe I've been able to do this for 3 years as basically a paid pothead, right? I'm paid to research and analyze and tell the stories all about marijuana legalization and medical marijuana in this country, travel this country to bring you some of the best events in the marijuana community. And it's always been my thrill and my honor to be able to do this for you. So thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the memberships. Thanks for the VIP donations. Could not do it without you. And I couldn't do it without some other people as well, who throughout the years have been so helpful for me as I've put together this show and put together this network. I was originally doing Normal's podcast, The Daily Audio Stash, something that Bacon Dan heard me on the very first podcast I ever did so many years ago. And I did that work for Normal as a podcast, and then I transitioned it into a live show because I discovered it was quicker and easier to record a live show and turn it into a podcast than to just record a podcast. It's just easier to do it live. There's less editing. You're not, you know, constantly redoing mistakes and so forth. So we're doing the show live. We called it Normal Show Live. We ran Normal Show Live from 2008 through 2012. We also tried to create the Normal Network to bring on other podcasts. It was the genesis of what would become 420 Radio. And then I went and did something really stupid and got myself fired from Normal. And don't need to go into the story of why, but it was just stupid. And after getting fired, I was fired like the middle of May. And I had this crossroads in my life. Like, what am I going to do? I guess I have to go get a real job or something. But then I decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, because I feel that my whole life has led me to this position. Like, I couldn't be more perfectly constituted to perform this job. I'm exactly the right guy for the job. And so I felt like I was just going to keep doing it. And if I was right, if I am exactly the right guy for the job, then there'll be enough support to be able to live off of this. Not in any sort of luxury or anything, but at least be able to pay the bills, pay the rent and get by. And it turned out I was right. So thank you again. And some of the people that helped me get to this independent show must not be forgotten. And probably the dearest person in the history of the Russ Belville Show would be Cannabis Carrie. You know, Carrie Gallagher, she is like a sister to me. I've known her since 1992. We've been roommates on occasion. And she was the news anchor and co-host, if you will, of the Russ Belville Show for a time. And I wanted to go back to our first week, shows 1 through 5, and pull some clips of Cannabis Carrie and I doing the news as we used to. So let's reach back. Remember, this is June of 2012. No states have legalized marijuana yet. And the state of Arizona has just barely begun its medical marijuana dispensaries. And Carrie reports on that.
And before there was Connecticut, Arizona was one of the last in the freshman class of medical marijuana states. And like every program before, the Arizona medical marijuana program has had its starts and stops and challenges. The biggest challenge, of course, has been to implement the state's dispensary program. The state's own governor, Jan Brewer, had challenged that provision of the medical marijuana law, making state-registered medical marijuana patients wait for a safe, reliable place to get their medical marijuana. Now, that lawsuit was dismissed and the program has been allowed to go forward. The latest hoop that would-be dispensary operators had to jump through was the very small window of opportunity they had to get in all their paperwork along with their applications turned in. The Arizona Department of Health Services announced only weeks before that they would accept applications beginning on May 11th, and that window was closed on May 25th. Applicants had to turn in the 4-page application, a background check saying they had no felonies on their record, a clear and cogent plan for security and safety at the planned facility, and all the paperwork, either rental or ownership papers, that showed their location would be following all zoning rules where applicable. The application process was only open to those over 21, and they also had to turn in paperwork showing that they were filing to run a nonprofit business. All those applications were turned in with a $5,000 filing fee, and although not required, those nonprofit business planners could also turn in proof that they had $150,000 in their bank accounts to be given favor over those applicants that did not turn in such proof. Also, recent Arizona court decisions concerning business loans on dispensaries mean that finding a bank willing to do business with you will be difficult, as well as finding any business loans. A recent court decision said that a business loan to a dispensary was uncollectible since marijuana is federally illegal and you cannot collect on a contract with a federally illegal business. Now, with all those hoops, still 484 companies applied for what must be legally capped at 126 dispensaries statewide, which by law is one per every 10 pharmacies in the state. The law states the Arizona Department of Health Services cannot share any of the information on the applications. That's all secret, since the applications must include letters from local and counties and towns and local governments. All the local governments are releasing all that information under the state's open record laws. Dispensaries in Arizona will be allowed to grow marijuana and sell infused food products, and also sell marijuana to other dispensaries. Now, the Arizona Department of Health Service plans to randomly pick the dispensaries that get those licenses during an August 7th drawing, with the first picks, of course, going to those with that hefty bank account.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So there's Cannabis Carrie reading some Arizona news, and she just grew and grew into that spot and became indispensable for me on the show. Here's another clip. This one, she's talking about Mitt Romney's visit to Colorado, where he didn't think talking about marijuana was a very important subject.
And I just wanted to quickly address an article that came out of the Washington Post this week. I surely want to hear what Russ has to say about it. It concerns the legalization question that is already qualified on the ballot in Colorado. Colorado may be one of the battleground states when it comes to the presidential race come November, and voters in Colorado will be voting on whether or not to legalize marijuana in their state, and also will be voting between two presidential candidates who are on the same side of the matter, both against it. In April, Obama appeared in a late-night television interview with Jimmy Fallon that aired the same night as Obama spoke at the University of Colorado in Boulder. The president laughed off a question from the talk show host about marijuana, saying, quote, "We're not going to be legalizing weed or what anytime soon." Earlier that day, Obama was cheered at the University of Colorado, but booed when he thanked the university chancellor, who had just shut down the largest annual college pro-marijuana rally this year on campus. Now, Romney hasn't done any better in Colorado on the marijuana issue. He was stopped by the state to campaign before the Republican primaries and was annoyed with a local reporter when she asked him about medical marijuana. He answered her saying, "Isn't there anything of significance you would like to ask me about?" Bad political move in a state that has a successful medical marijuana industry that provides thousands of jobs and millions of dollars in revenue to the state, and an issue that the Colorado legislature now spends a good deal of time debating every session.
Well, yeah, this is going to be interesting in Colorado. I don't think Obama is in serious trouble in Colorado just because of the electoral politics of it all outside of the marijuana issue. Like we say, you know, Romney's not got anything better to offer to medical marijuana people, and probably far worse as far as what he would offer economically speaking and for this, you know, burgeoning industry. I know he's not going to be standing idly by and letting, you know, dispensaries continue as they continue. It's an interesting bit of electoral math. Romney's got a problem in Colorado with the growing Hispanic population there, and his issues is with regards to immigration, some of the things he said on that. So,
of course, as it turned out in that election, Mitt Romney ended up losing the state of Colorado, and the marijuana legalization issue ended up winning. One more clip here from our good friend Danny Danko, who appeared on the first Friday episode of our show, and he called us from Central Park in New York.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
Free weed.
How does her garden grow?
Free weed.
I don't know.
Danny Danko on the normal radio. Free weed.
I'm just the voiceover guy.
Free weed.
Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in the Russ Belville Show Cultivators Corner.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are going out live to I don't know what park in New York, but Danny Danko's on the line. How you doing, Danny?
Great, great. Yeah, I'm in Central Park. We're playing softball right now, the High Times Bong Hitters versus the Daily Beast Newsweek News Beast.
The News Beasts. All right. And so
I don't know if that's what they call themselves, but that's what we call them.
That's what we call them today. Bong Hitters versus the News Beasts. And we've reported on the New York Media Softball League before. And High Times has always, you know, finished, you know, sometimes won the league, finished second a lot of times. How is the game going today?
Oh, it's great. We are up. We're up 13-2. Seem to be maybe 14-2. And, yeah, the game's pretty much in the bag right now.
Right on. Who are some of the people from High Times we'd know that are playing today?
Well, Mike Sapphire, Craig Coffey is a regular on the team. Let's see.
Yourself? Are you playing or just
myself,
watching?
Yeah, I took myself out of the game. I was playing second base. And I had a couple of nice hits, and calling it a day. My wife's coming out with my son, so that's a nice day out in the park, and a great softball game as well.
Oh, how's your son doing?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, just had his second birthday, and, you know, he's loving everything and learning new stuff all the time.
All right. Well, we had a great episode of High Times Free Weed from Danny Danko. Danny, you did it live for the first time. how'd you feel doing it?
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun. We're going to keep doing weekly shows. I don't know how many will be live, but we're going to keep putting those shows out. I'm really happy. We just switched over to SoundCloud as well, so you can listen to them without, you know, having to download anything. And, you know, we get good stats and stuff from there. So it's been fun.
It's great having Danny Danko on the 420 Radio Network. And we were there for his first ever Free Weed podcast as well. And he cites 420 Radio and my show as some of the inspiration for getting himself on a podcast. So I'm glad I could help out in that way too. Any way we can be the kind of vicarious link to the activism world for anyone out there listening, I'm happy to do it. Again, thank you for 600 great shows. We got another 308 to go before I break my record with Normal. Should probably approach that sometime. What would that be, 2017? I hope you'll be there. Other big stuff coming up for the Russ Belville Show in the future. I wish I could tell you more about it, but last year taught me a lesson not to get all excited and tell people about stuff until I've signed the contract, so we shall see. Stay tuned. The Radical Rant is next. We're going over changes to Oregon's legalization, whether we want them or not, when we come back.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs. Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. Talking a little bit about my home state of Oregon, where Jeff Mapes, the political reporter for the Oregonian, posted Monday night about a deal that has been brokered in our legislature. The piece opens, legislative negotiators have tentatively agreed on a sweeping marijuana deal that could produce a 20% sales tax on the recreational sales of pot. A deal, you see? We're getting a deal. By instituting the only sales tax in the state of Oregon. You know, we don't have any sales tax here, right? But this would be a sales tax, 20% sales tax. Now, I know maybe some of you out there are thinking, didn't we have an election? Didn't we gather together a whole bunch of language on marijuana legalization and take it to our legislature? In 2013, following the failed 2012 legalization, in 2013, we went to the legislature during their session and said, hey, you know pot's going to be legal pretty soon, right? You know that either 2014 or 2016, we're going to get it together and we're going to get it legalized. So how about y'all in Salem work with us and figure out how we're going to legalize marijuana? Because you know what's going to happen. So here's your chance, legislature, to weigh in and figure out how marijuana is going to be legalized. And so the legislature promptly ignored that, tabled it, killed it. Now, at the time when that was happening, I was confused. I'm like, why are these guys, why would you do this? Here's the opportunity to work with the people to get what the people want. And to craft legalization your way rather than how we might choose it. It seemed to me, politically speaking, why wouldn't they want to do this? But now, seeing how legalization has unfolded, I think I get it. I think I understand. They didn't need to work with us when there was no threat of legalization, because even if we got legalization, even if we followed through on our threat, they knew they could just do what they wanted to do anyway. See, there's nothing in Oregon's Constitution that prevents the legislature from tinkering with a legislative or a citizen initiative. Okay? So the people could go out, as we did, write up our legislative language, present it to the Secretary of State, make sure that the title passes muster and that the description is accurate and fair. Make sure that it comports with all the rules and regulations for putting together a citizen initiative. Raise a whole lot of money. Hire some signature gatherers. Go out, gather hundreds of thousands of signatures. Get that placed on the electoral ballot. Have an election. Have the people vote for it at 56%, the greatest majority that's ever supported marijuana legalization in a statewide referendum on the issue. And they can still do whatever they want. All that work we did to get the signatures, get it on the ballot, get it passed, do the research, write the language, means nothing to them. It means nothing to them because they know they can just change it any way they want, because our Constitution here in the state of Oregon does not allow, or it allows for the legislature to be able to change anything they want. Now, in Washington State, just north of us, when they passed I-502 in 2012, the legislature couldn't mess with it for 2 years. Well, they could. If the legislature could come up with a 2/3 voting majority, they could change parts of I-502. But it's just about impossible to get a 2/3 majority of any state legislature to agree on anything, much less regulating marijuana. So for 2 years, I-502 was allowed to be implemented exactly as it was written. Imagine that. That, like, when the people voted on something and they passed it, it became law. Wow, what a concept. And of course, in Colorado, when they passed their Amendment 64, perhaps recognizing that their legislature might want to play some shenanigans as well, they made it a constitutional amendment. Now, going the constitutional amendment route costs more money. Costs a lot more money, and you got to get a lot more signatures, and it's harder to get support for because people take amending the Constitution a little more seriously. But they did it. They succeeded. And by putting it in the Colorado State Constitution, the legislature really couldn't monkey with it that much. But here in Oregon, oh boy. Oh boy, we passed our legalization with 56%. And as far as they're concerned, it was just a suggestion. You know, the way our scenario is laid out here in Oregon, the way our regulation, our constitution exists here, we could pass legislation and they could completely repeal it. Really, as far as I can tell, there's nothing statutorily preventing them from repealing all of Measure 91. They could write it in a couple of paragraphs. Sections this through that are hereby repealed. I don't see anything that's stopping them from doing that. Now, they're not going to do that. They're going to leave the legalization as is. It's not the legalization they got a problem with. It's who gets the money. How's the money divided? So here in Oregon, they had this standoff between the cities and the counties versus everyone else, I guess. The lobbyists from the cities and the counties want to be able to ban any marijuana outlet. And not the way that Measure 91 has set it up, because Measure 91 says it's okay if you're a city or a county and you want to ban pot. That's great. But you got to have a vote of the people. If you're the town of Burns, Oregon, and you got 8,000 people out there, or I don't know what the population of Burns is, but it's probably close to 8 grand, right? You got your 8,000 people out there in Burns. If they really hate pot that much, then it gets on the ballot, and 4,001 of them vote to ban pot, then by God, pot's banned. But what you're not going to do is have the 3-man city council of Burns vote 2-1 or 3-0 and ban it for all 8,000 people to not have a pot shop. But that's the power they want. And they want this power so badly that they're issuing all these sorts of threats against our legislature. Oh, well, we'll litigate it. We'll litigate the whole thing. We'll take it to the federal Supreme Court. It'll invalidate all of the marijuana. Nobody will get anything. Threats that, as I've said before, should be the bluff should be called. But they've put these threats up and scared the legislators or manipulated the legislators to such an extent that now they're deciding in this deal that there's going to be a 20% sales tax on recreational pot. 17% of it will be state sales tax. 3% will be locality sales tax, local sales tax. Now, this is one of those things where I'm mad about it for the principle that, like, hey, we voted for this particular thing and this is not this particular thing. But as compromises go, it may not be the worst one. At least with the 3% local tax, that's lower than the tax most all of these cities have already passed. There's like 70 cities that already passed taxes that range from 5% to 40%. So if there is going to be a tax, bringing it down to 3% is not the worst thing in the world. And consider that the 3% tax, those cities don't get that tax unless they have allowed marijuana to be sold. So there's kind of a 3%, I don't know, bribe, if you will, for these cities to want to accept marijuana businesses. The 17% tax at the state level, part of what they're doing here by making it a sales tax also has to do with how they want to co-locate medical and recreational marijuana. See, the way that Measure 91 wrote it up is it was a harvest tax. It was like at the production level, right? $35 an ounce at the production level. So, grower harvests his weed, sells it, pays $35 an ounce tax on it, right? But once it gets to the retailer, if you're a medical consumer coming in to buy that weed, that tax is already part of the cost of the weed. They'd have to be giving you a rebate on the tax, and then it would get all sorts of messy. So by making it a sales tax, right, that means the marijuana is untaxed from the producer to the processor, untaxed from the processor to the wholesaler, untaxed from the wholesaler to the retailer. And then when the retailer sells it, then the 17% tax is added on. Well, that way, if you're a medical consumer, they just don't add the tax. It's just a tax-free purchase. And none of the price of that marijuana has ever been increased through taxation earlier upstream. So this might actually be a better deal tax-wise. That said, it's not the taxes we voted for. So I don't know. That's a little frustrating here. Another frustration here is just giving this victory to the lobbyists, you know, rewarding these lobbyists for the cities and counties for making their bluff, for bluffing that they're going to invalidate the entire marijuana industry. Now, 17% state tax is an interesting number as well, because Colorado has a 10% state tax that they're going to lower to 8%. They're finding they need to lower their taxes to help compete with the black market. Washington state has 25% at three levels, 25 at the producer, 25 at the processor, 25 at the retailer, plus your state and local sales taxes. They're looking at revising their tax to just taxes at one level at either 30 or 37%. So 17% might be in the middle there somewhere. And I've seen some numbers comparing what did $35 an ounce tax be like as the price of marijuana changes versus what does that 17% tax end up being once the price changes. And I don't know, it seems like as far as picking a number out of a hat, it's not a bad one. I think the number probably needs to be lower. 10% perhaps. And they're still going on the bans. The Senate passed a measure that allows the localities to ban dispensaries, but gives local voters a way to overturn them. The House still wants local bans to go directly to the voters. Under Measure 91, only the voters could do a local ban. So here's another situation where it looks like what we're going to get, compromise-wise, is not what we voted for, which is bans don't exist until the people vote for them. But instead, we're going to end up with some sort of thing where the city or county government institutes a ban and then the people can vote it out. So again, giving more power to the localities to make marijuana criminal again, which is exactly what we're trying to avoid, isn't it? The other issue in Oregon marijuana, will we have early sales? It looks like that whole idea of July 1st, when we have our legal possession, when that begins, they wanted to some of the Republicans wanted to have sales starting in the marijuana dispensaries, medical marijuana, to allow sales July 1st. Looks like that's being pushed out to October 1st, and it'll probably just be a limited amount. We'll have more on that in hour two. Stay tuned, and news about Jenny Ray when we come back. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you